Wall Street. I came in this morning and Paul said, you know what today is? I said, today is the day. Amen. Let's stand up and sing about it.
Sing scripture. No, that's all of that there was scripture. Today is the day that the Lord has made, and I don't have to worry about tomorrow. Matthew 6, Jesus said, let tomorrow worry about itself. There's enough evil tomorrow. So you know what? Today is the day. Let's rejoice and be glad in it. What a great way to start out the morning. Well, it's good to see you here this morning. If you're visiting with us here at 12th Street, we are glad to have you with us. And this morning, I know that God has something in store for all of us if we just listen to him. Well, let's take our bulletins. We have a few announcements to go through. You'll want to hang on to the insert. It'll help you understand the message, okay? So hang on to that insert. And first of all, immediately following the morning service, we're going to take about a 3-minute break. And please stay for the business meeting if you're a member, especially. There's some important information we're going to be sharing about the process the search committee has been going through. And so please stay for that. We also are going to give an update on the budget and everything else. So if you have children that will be going back to children's church, you have 3 minutes to grab your child and then get back in here, because those who work in junior church would like to be able to be in the business meeting as well. So keep that in mind. Today, Pete and Lisa Pollard are moving away back down to Lisa's hometown in Tennessee. And so when you see Pete, give him a big hug. I really have appreciated them and all that they have done here at 12th Street. The Archers Sunday School class will resume on September 10th at 10 a.m. And the archers, they're archers because the Bible says that blessed is the man whose quiver is full. And so archers carry arrows, and your children are the arrows. It's a great class to learn about raising children. So if you have children, I'd like to encourage you to be part of that. And also, we have another great class that meets, and we probably need to get a bigger room for you, right? Scott Cross is teaching, and their class is busting out the seams, so we'll have to figure something out to get him a bigger room. And so please be part of our Sunday school ministries. There's a ladies' Bible study that's starting up on September 12th, and if you'd like to be part of that, make sure that you sign up at the Welcome Center, or if you need a ride, make sure that you let the church office or Brenda know that. And there's a couple baby showers coming up. Keep those in mind. We have the Allen family coming with us on September 10th. And the Allen family, you will be blessed. They do a tremendous job of presenting just in song, many different great thoughts. Todd does a great job of leading his family. And I tell you what, they're a great example. And so I'd like to encourage you to come out, and that's on September 10th. They'll sing in the morning service, and then we will have a spaghetti lunch right after the morning service, and then at 1 o'clock, we will start an Awana fun fair to kick off the Awana season. Awana is Approved Workmen Are Not Ashamed, and it's for our preschoolers through fifth grade. And so if you have children, this is a wonderful program for them to be part of. The kickoff will be September 10th, and then the first date of Awana is Wednesday, September 20th, and it runs from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m., and it is a wonderful program for children. And so I'd like to encourage you to be part of the kickoff and then to be part of the program. And our Awana kickoff party just did that one. Youth group will start on September 17th. So youth group has taken a month off, and we appreciate all of our youth sponsors, especially Nate and Kyla, as they're going to get the ball rolling with that again. And so September 17th from 5 to 7 p.m. is when youth group starts back up. Now, September 17th is a big date, okay? A lot going on because we're getting into the fall swing of things. So September 17th, we're starting a new series called Parables from Mark. It is going to be a great series. The God has already blessed my heart as I've studied for it, and I know that you will be blessed. We also are going to start up small groups on September 17th. All right, and so there's a sign-up sheet at the Welcome Center. I encourage you, be part of a small group. We'll have one or two that are meeting here at the church. We're going to have some that meet at different locations, from Pawpaw, Mattawan, Portage, Schoolcraft, possibly up in Plainwell. So we're trying to have them all over so you can be part of a small group. So right now the sign-up sheet is for those who would like to host or lead the small group. So please sign up if you're willing to do that. And there will be a leaders meeting for small groups that will take place, and there will be more information to come after we see who signs up for that. All right, a lot of announcements. I'm glad they're done. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much that we can meet here together. I thank you that today is the day that you have made, and Lord, we will rejoice and be glad in it. You are the great God, the King above all kings, the Lord above all lords. You are the one who made everything at your word. Everything is created and continues to exist by your will. And so, Father, we thank you for what you have done through Jesus Christ. not only in creating a world, but in bringing us a way to be saved from our sin. I thank you that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to the Father except through him. And so, Lord Jesus, we pray that you would be made great in this service, that as we lift you up, that you would draw all men unto yourself, all women to yourself, all children to yourself. And so, God, our goal today, our aim, is to see you, to understand who you are, and to know how to live our faith with all of those around us. So bless this time that we have together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's take a moment and greet those around us.
All right, as you're making your way back to your seats this morning, remain standing as we sing All Hail the Power.
Earth is filled with his glory. joy of the Lord is our strength. We bow down and worship Him now. How great, how awesome is He? And together we sing. Everyone sing. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth.
Father, as we come before you this morning, Lord, we just pray that we've come in the right spirit, come to worship you, Father. We pray that we've ministered to your spirit this morning with our worship. And Father, we just pray for our pastor this morning as he's coming to bring the message, Lord. We just pray you'd pour your spirit out on him, Father. Just open our hearts, prepare our minds for the message you have for us this morning, Father. And we just ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Will the ushers come forward, please?
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. And Lord, we just thank you for our church today. And Lord, as we take up this offering, we just ask that as we spread the gospel throughout this part of Kalamazoo and in Michigan, we just pray that that we'll use it for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I'm yours. I stand before you now.
Dismiss our children to children's church. How do you follow that? Well, let's turn in our Bibles to Genesis chapter 10. Genesis chapter 10. And as the children are heading out to children's church, let's pray here together. Lord God, I pray that your word would be quick and powerful. Divide, Lord, between us what is good and what is wrong. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Before we read in Genesis chapter 10 this morning, we're going to look at where every race comes from and where every language comes from. And as we do this, I got a couple little cartoons to look at, first of all. These all deal with the Tower of Babel and the confusion of languages. So go ahead and put that first one up, all right? All right, the Tower of Babel was still a better space program than North Korea's, all right? Anyway, go ahead and go to the next one. All right, it says there, it says, Rex could totally still understand Sit, but he knew this Babel incident was his ticket away from all the dumb tricks. All right, and then the last one here, Woof and Bark after the Tower of Babel incident, all right? So this morning we're going to see where all of the races come from and where all of the languages come from. And Genesis chapter 10 and verse 1 says, Now these are the generations of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And unto them were sons born after the flood. Well, listen, we all come from Noah, all of us. We are all the same blood. We all are the same heritage. Now, here are the children of Japheth. We're not going to go through all of them. Look with me at verse 5. These are the children of Japheth, were the islands of the Gentiles divided in their lands, everyone after his tongue, after their families, in their nations. All right? Here's what chapter 10 does. It gives us a broad overview, and then chapter 11, it will go back and tell us how there were different languages. Okay? So, the offspring of Japheth are where you get the inhabitants of the islands, and this is the first time we're going to see this word, Gentiles. Originally, the word Gentile only referred to the children of Japheth who lived in the islands, okay? And then the word Gentile will take on a broader meaning later in time. Then you have the children of Ham, and in verse 8, Ham's children, it says, and Cush begat Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one in the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter, before the Lord. And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel and Erech and Akkad and Calneh in the land of Shinar. So we have this guy, and we're going to talk more about him in a little bit, Nimrod. Now today when we say the word Nimrod, what do you think? Not very positive, right? If you call somebody a Nimrod, you are not complimenting them. But back then, Nimrod was mighty. Now, he was a mighty, now the Bible says he was a mighty hunter before the Lord. In fact, the Hebrew word there can also be translated against. Nimrod was not a friend of God. Nimrod was an enemy of what God wanted for the people to do. We'll come back to Nimrod in a few minutes. But they moved to this place, Shinar. Now, writing was invented in Shinar, okay? Now, this is what we know after the flood. Before the flood, they had writing, okay? But all that was destroyed. So now, after the flood, they moved to Shinar, and you have this, you have writing that will take place there. In fact, everything that we think about when what we call modern civilization, hospitals, schools, all of those things all start under the reign of Nimrod in Shinar. Now look at verse 14. These are still the children of Ham. And Pathrusim and Kelsuhim, out of whom came Philistine. So when you read in the Old Testament, you read about these Philistines, they come from Ham as well. In fact, today we don't use the word Philistine, we use the word Palestinian, okay? All of the Palestinians are descendants of Ham, okay? That's the national heritage. And then in verse 15, and Canaan begat Sidon and his firstborn Heth. Now, you're like, oh, you're giving us too many details. For those who like a lot of details, listen. For those who don't, try, okay? Heth, he is, his children, they own some caves in Canaan. And the Canaan land is where Israel will eventually settle. We'll talk about that in a minute. Abraham, when his wife Sarah dies, he buys the cave from the children of Heth. So Abraham buys the burying place for his wife, and then actually Abraham will be buried there too. And those are he buys it from the descendants of Ham. We could read the rest of these, but it basically, verse 18, you have the Arvadite, the Zemarahite, the Hamathite, and afterward were the families of the Canaanites spread abroad. And so the Canaanites, they become giants. They're like big people. Because when the children of Israel will come to the land of Canaan in a few hundred years, they're going to stand at the gates of Canaan and they're not going to want to go in because those people are giants and we're like grasshoppers in their sight. Okay? So the descendants of Ham possess the land that God had promised to, well, will promise a little bit later to Abraham. Last week we saw in chapter 9, at the end of the chapter in verse 27, we saw that the children of Canaan would serve the children of Seth. This is fulfilled when Israel, the children of Seth, conquer the Canaan land and then inhabit it. And we don't know it as the Canaan land anymore. We now know it as Israel. In fact, the specific land would be Judea. Okay? So we see in these children of Noah, we see how all of these different nationalities, today we see, and in the Bible we see how all of it began to separate and play out. And then let's look at Shem real quickly. Verse 25, Shem, he has some children, and then unto Eber were born two sons. The name of one was Peleg, for in his days was the earth divided, and his brother's name was Joktan. Now, when you read that word Eber there, I pronounced it wrong. It should be Heber. And there's a race of people that comes from Heber, and they're known as the Hebrews. Okay? I'll tell you this. There are Hebrews that are related to Abraham but don't come from Abraham, because all the children of Eber are going to be called Hebrews in Scripture. So Eber from Shem, that's where we get Abraham will come from them. Now, Peleg, he's a very important figure. He gets such a little mention in Scripture, but the word Peleg means divided. And it's during the days of Peleg that the earth is divided. And there's a couple reasons for that. Number one, the land masses will come to their completion of dividing during the lifetime of Peleg. The other thing that takes place is that all of the languages and people groups are divided during the days of Peleg. So it's not that Peleg did the dividing, it's just during the time frame that he lived, that's when all of those things took place. Look at verse 32. These are the families of the sons of Noah, after their generations, in their nations. It's interesting there that the generations, the families that come from Noah, create different nations. And by these were the nations divided in the earth after the flood. Let's continue in chapter 11, verse 1. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. So obviously we're going back in time from the totality of chapter 10, because in chapter 10 it told us about the sons of Japheth, that they inhabited the islands and they were called Gentiles and they had their own languages. So obviously we're jumping back in time here in chapter 11 when the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. Let's go back to when Noah got off the ark. God said, go and multiply and inhabit the earth. But the people that are born after that, they look at it and they go, it's a lot better when we all live together. And they said, we don't want to be separated and inhabit the whole earth. Let's stay together. Okay, anybody remember the Haley Mills and the Parent Trap? Let's get together, yeah, yeah, yeah. All right, well, that's what the world was singing to each other. They're saying, let's stay together. Let's not inhabit the whole earth. Let's all stay right here. In fact, let's build a tower that reaches up to, now the word heaven there is the same word that we see back in Genesis 1 when God created the heaven and the earth. And that same word that about the firmament. And so here's what they're saying. They're not saying that they're going to get to the place where God lives. They're saying we're going to build a tower of such height that we can see all of the earth. That we can live together as one in unity and have this monument of our own greatness. Now, who's leading them at this time? Nimrod. Some of you laugh every time I say his name. And you know what? That's kind of a good thing, because if we were to be like, oh yeah, Nimrod, he's the man. You know, that's what they used to say. This is what God does. Those who stand in their own might to make a name for themselves, God will turn it completely upside down. Because 4,000 years ago, 4,300 years ago, when they said the name Nimrod, people would be like, whoa, he's the man. Today we say Nimrod, and you're like, he must have been an idiot, right? Because here's what God does. When we stand in our own power, when we stand in our own might, we stand up and we say, I'm going to make a name for myself, and we stand against God, God turns it all upside down. And that's what happened with Nimrod. Now look at verse 4. They said, let us make, build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. Let us make a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. Now, let's just stop for a moment. It wasn't like God's up in heaven. He's like, I can't see their tower. I got to go see it. Can God see it? He sees everything. Here, this is called an anthropomorphism, where God allows us to understand himself through a mortal or earthly way of doing things. Did God need to go down to see it? No, God could see it from where he was. But here's what God does. God visits them, and here's the goal. In fact, it's kind of interesting here. He says, go to let us go down. Who's he talking to? Himself. Just like in Genesis 1, when he decides to make man, he says, let us make man in our own image. He's speaking to himself because we have the Trinity at work, Father, Son, and Spirit. So God says, let us, the full Trinity, let's visit what mankind is doing and let's see what's happening here. And as he looks at what's going on, he says, let's confound their language that they may not understand one another's speech. And so the Lord scattered them abroad from there upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth. From there did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. So they're there, they're working on the Tower of Babel. And when God divides the languages up, he did it for two reasons. Number one, so they'd stop building their monument to themselves, so that they would stop making a name for themselves, because the name that they needed to bow to was the name of Jehovah, the Lord God. And they should not bow to any other name. So he confuses their languages so that they will now separate from each other and go inhabit all the earth. Well, you go, well, how did they get there? Because the land masses. Well, at the time, there's a thing called Pangaea. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to look at a few slides that I've made up. And this will help us, hopefully, to understand things. So let's go ahead and put the first slide of a map up there. So we have Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The Bible tells us in chapter 10 where they all go. So when the world, at this time, it's called Pangaea. So there's what it might have looked like, okay? There's a picture of Pangaea, where all the land masses are connected. Okay, now during the flood, God created the fault lines that broke the land masses apart. And so you have water coming up from the deep. You have volcanic activity that's taking place. And so as that volcanic activity is taking place and there's fault lines that are cracking, you start to see the world, all the land masses, break apart. Now the water recedes after the flood. And as the water recedes, it was 370 days from the day that Noah got onto the ark till the day that they got off the ark. And so in that 370 days, God broke the base of what held all the land masses together. And they may have separated a little bit, but not a ton. And so then when Noah's family got off the ark, they all moved to Shinar. They didn't scatter. So then at Babel, God scatters them. And so here's kind of a migration of how this happened. Go ahead and go to the next slide. So you have Pangaea, and you can kind of see there how the continents broke apart, all right? Not a great look at that, but that kind of gives you an idea with the arrows showing how the land masses moved. Go ahead and go to the next slide. So here's where the descendants of Noah, where the scripture kind of tells us where they began to settle. You have Ham, who basically Africa, and then also in the Middle East, in the Canaan land. And then you have Shem, kind of that green area, and then Japheth, kind of the yellow. That's a very generalized. They were intermixed a little bit more than that. But that's generally where they went. At the time, it's thought that the white areas, that right after the flood, those white areas were all covered in ice. Okay? And this is, Answers in Genesis has an explanation for that. If you want to read more on that, they have a very good explanation for that. So that's kind of where they went when they when the family group separated. So at Tower of Babel, here's what God did. He didn't like just give everybody a random language. Okay? God is smarter than that. He gave every family group their own language. So you would look to your wife, and you guys spoke the same language, your children, but then you look over at the guy working next to you, and they don't speak your language. And so do you think you can work together? No. So that at that time, they break apart. And at that time, all the family groups start moving to different areas. And so go ahead and go to the next slide there. And so this is the handout that's in your bulletin. I knew you wouldn't be able to see it real great up there. And if you look at the handout that's in your bulletin, it just kind of shows exactly where the Bible says that each one of the family groups migrated. And this is just a picture of, this doesn't have the Americas on it, but some of the family groups would have gone to the Americas, okay? Because they scattered abroad to the whole earth. So how long have people been living in America? Oh, about 4,500 years. Because you have the American Indians that lived here, and they were all descendants of Shem, Ham, and Japheth. So it's four generations after Noah that we have Peleg being born. And Peleg, his name means division. And the Bible says, for in his days was the earth divided. So Peleg was born in 2247 BC. Okay? And you might be like me and you're like, but I want to know after creation, right? Well, most of our timing, or all of our timing that we do is AD, BC. So if we look at, so if you're looking after the flood, okay, the way, we'll get to that in a minute. All right? We'll look at the after the flood in a minute. I want to look at the founding of some of the world's empires and where they trace their roots to, and we're going to see all of it happens right around or nearly after Peleg. All right? And these aren't from Christian sources. These are from just the world sources, and it just proves that God's word is true historically. Okay? The founding of Babylon. This is the oldest ancient civilization, actually, after the flood. And the founding of Babylon was in 2234 BC, so just 13 years after the birth of Peleg. And it's recorded in the sixth book of the Kalo, which means about the heavens, by an author named Simplicius. He was a 6th century Latin writer. And then another author, his name is Porphyry. He was an anti-Christian Greek philosopher that wrote in between 234 AD and 305 AD. He also came up with the exact same number that Babylon was founded in 2234 BC, okay? Which is only 13 years after Peleg. Then you have the Byzantine chronicler. His name is Constantinus Manasses. He wrote in 1187 AD, and he tells us that Egypt was founded in 2188 BC, 60 years after the birth of Peleg. Okay? So Egypt founded as an empire 60 years after the birth of Peleg. And then you go to, there's another author, his name is Eusebius. He was a historian of Caesarea. He wrote in the 4th century AD. And he writes about that the first Greeks started to reign 160 years after the birth of Peleg, and that would be 2087 BC. So you have three of the dominant world kingdoms come into being all very shortly after the days of Peleg, the birth of Peleg. So here's the timing for Peleg. Peleg was born 109 years after the flood. And then he lived for another 200 years after the flood. So there's a 309-year window for the languages to be confused and the people to move to all the different places on the earth. And think about 309 years. That's a long time, isn't it? I mean, is America 309 years old yet? Not even close. All right? So you just look at it and you go, okay, we can see how quickly empires can be established and people groups can settle and with their languages get the ball rolling for their own civilizations. This is how the earth was populated, and this is where the different languages all come from. So when we talk about races, there's really only one group of people. Through genetic traits and through locations of where people moved, that's how people began to look differently. But we all carry the same blood. We all come from the same source. In Genesis 11, look at verse 31. It says, and Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarah, his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. And they came unto Haran and dwelt there. You say, how come the Bible only follows what became known as the Israelites? Or why is the major theme of the Bible, the descendants of Shem through Eber, through Abram? Here's why. Because there's a blessing that the world would receive. And only came through one of Noah's sons. It came through Shem. Came through a very specific line of people. Look at Genesis 12:1. Now the Lord said to Abraham, get out of your country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show you. And I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now turn in your Bibles over to Galatians chapter 3. Because Galatians 3 is the best commentary that has ever been written on Genesis 12. Galatians chapter 3. Because the reason I say it's the best commentary ever written on Genesis 12 is because God wrote it through the inspiration to Paul. So in Galatians 3, verse 7, it says, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, and that word heathen there, the Greek word is ethnos. All right? When we think of heathen, we think of, you know, barbarian, right? Ethnos does not mean that. Ethnos just means the different ethnicities. Okay? Not necessarily heathen, but the different nations. In fact, the Greek word ethnos will be translated in relationship to Israel from time to time. And so maybe there's a little prejudice when the translators were translating that word into heathen. But we can understand this to know that all the families of the earth, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. All the ethnicities would be blessed through Abraham. But now read the next verse, verse 9. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. That blessing where God said to Abraham, I will bless them that bless you and curse them that curse you. That blessing is a blessing that's promised through faith. And we can receive that blessing today. Now look at verse 16 in Galatians 3. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He says not, and to seeds many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. We've been fed a line for such a long time that God only loves Israel in the Old Testament. That's such a fallacy. God loved all people throughout all the Bible. The thing is that the seed, the singular seed of Abraham, who is Christ, the commentary in Galatians is providing for us the answer to what we would ask from Genesis, who's the seed that's blessed? Christ. He's the seed that brings blessing to all the ethnicities, all the peoples of the earth, because it's through faith in Jesus Christ we are reconciled with God the Father. And it's only through faith in Jesus Christ that we can receive forgiveness for our sin. And God only chose to send the Messiah through Shem, Heber, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Judah, David, and then came Jesus 28 generations later. And this was God's plan. This is what the Bible's all about. What does this teach us about race? I think that as God looks down from heaven and he looks at America today, he's disgusted by our view of race. I think when God looks at us, he says, how have you fallen so far away from who you are? We are all from the same family. We look different and sound different because the different families were separated so that the whole earth would be inhabited. But when it comes down to it, all nations, ethnicities of the earth are blessed in faithful Abraham, not because of Abraham, but because of his seed, Jesus Christ. If you're white, you are not better than anybody else. If you are black, you are not better than anybody else. If you are brown or yellow or red or green or purple, you are not better than anybody else. But here's the truth about all of us. We are all in need of help and hope. Because it was through Adam that everybody sins. And death follows sin. And because Noah was a descendant of Adam, Adam brought sin into Noah's life, even though they were many generations apart. And now all of us are sinners in the same way as Adam and Noah. We all fall short of the glory of God. But we can choose whether or not we will be a Nimrod or be blessed with faithful Abraham through Jesus Christ. To be a Nimrod is to make a name for yourself, to make yourself great, aside from God. To be blessed with faithful Abraham is to have faith in Jesus Christ, the seed of Abraham. I've got just 2 points and then we're done. Number one, we are a nation of believers. We're a nation of believers. And I am not talking about you as an American. To be an American is not to be a nation of believers. You say, well, it should be. That's not what the Bible's talking about. We are a nation of believers. It's not because of your ethnicity. There's nothing about your ethnicity that would make you a believer. It's all about faith. In Exodus 19, God speaks to the children of Israel, the ones who came from Shem to Heber to Abraham, and then Isaac and Jacob and Jacob's 12 sons. Here's what God says to them. You shall be unto me, in Exodus 19:6, you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak unto the children of Israel. He says that in future tense. You shall be a nation of priests and an holy nation to me. Now we fast forward to 1 Peter chapter 2. After Christ died on the cross for our sins. And here's what it says. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation. What he promised to Israel and that they would be is fulfilled today in who we are, not because of ourselves, but because of Jesus Christ and our faith in him. We are a singular nation. A nation that has no ethnic bounds. A nation that has no linguistical restrictions. We are a holy nation because Jesus Christ has redeemed us. And by faith, we trust in him. Let me just say this. We hear a lot about unity in this world today, right? We're told we have to be at unity with everybody. No, we can't be. We can be at peace with everybody. We can't be at unity with everybody. Because unity comes through Jesus. And those who are in Jesus, we can have unity with them. In fact, we should have unity with them. Those who are not in Jesus, we can't be in unity with because we live in two different worlds. The world we live in is a world of light. In 1 Peter 2, the end of that, he says that you're a holy nation, a royal priesthood. He says, because Jesus has called you out of darkness and into his glorious, his marvelous light. We can be at peace with those of the world. But we can't be in unity with them because Jesus Christ brings the unity. And let me just tell you something. If you're white and you can't be at unity with someone because of their skin color, shame on you. You are not of God. And those people that claim to be followers of Jesus and live in hate, they're missing the mark of Jesus. Because Jesus came to be the promised seed who brings to all of us the promises made to Abraham that he would be a blessing to all ethnicities. Point number two, we are blessed by the promises of God. We are blessed by the promises of God. Here's how. We're blessed through faith. There is no blessing outside of Christ. The world cannot give you blessings. Only Jesus Christ. And what are blessings? Blessings are not money, fame, and power. Okay? That's what we want, right? Money, fame, and power. No. Those aren't the blessings of Christ. The blessings of Christ are a gentle and meek spirit, peace in the calm of a storm, assurance of your eternal security, a home in heaven, the blessings that he gives to us are not accumulated through the physical realm, but through faith in Jesus Christ. And today I want you to know that you are blessed if you have faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ. When somebody asks you how you're doing, you shouldn't go, oh, woe is me. You should say, I'm blessed because of Jesus Christ. And if you have never come to faith in Jesus Christ, I want to invite you to come to him because you've never experienced what a blessing it is to be called a child of God of the seed of Abraham by the seed of Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Lord God, I thank you for your word. I thank you this morning that it speaks to each and every one of us as equals. I thank you this morning, Lord, that it communicates to all of us that the only hope that we have in this life or the next is in Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, I do pray for our nation, for all of the division that is taking place because of race, and how it must rend your heart. And I pray, Lord, that we would not be agents of that kind of a message. I pray, Lord, that we would be people who proclaim Jesus Christ, because there is neither bond or free, Jew or Gentile. There is nothing other than Jesus Christ and those who are called his children and those who are not. And so, Lord, if anyone here has never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray that this morning that they would believe that you died on the cross for their sin, that you were buried, and that the third day you rose again victoriously, conquering sin, conquering death, and giving to each and every one of us the option to have eternal life. And if any will believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to confess with their mouth and believe in their heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead, then they will be saved this morning. And Lord, I pray that if anyone here has never trusted you and been saved, that this morning they would do so. And Lord, I just pray that we as a church, that we would be a faithful body, that we would live in the blessings that you give. Thank you for the blessings that you call us to. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we close out the service, I'm going to invite you, if you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'm going to be standing at the front. If you would like to trust him, just meet me at the front and tell me. And there's nothing greater that could ever happen in your life than for you to trust Christ as your Savior. And for those of you who have trusted Christ, as we sing this last song, remember this: you are blessed with faithful Abraham. You are blessed according to his promises. And so let's sing out as a blessed people. Let's stand together.
Lord, I come, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour. Righteousness, oh God, how I need you.
Where sin runs deep, your grace is more. Where grace is found is where you are.
And where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God. Song to rise to you. When temptation comes my way,
and when I cannot stand or fall on you,
Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Oh God, how I need.
After we dismiss, 3-minute break. Please stay for the business meeting and please pick up your children quickly. Let's pray together. Lord God, our good God, our only hope, we ask you to empower us to live like Jesus as we go into this world. I pray, Lord, that we would support each other as a church family, that we would lift each other up through prayer, through encouragement, and that, Lord, we would face every fiery trial, that we would face every point and word of hatred with the truth and the knowledge of what your word says. And Lord, I pray that we would promote Jesus because you are worthy. Now unto the one who made of one blood all nations, all tribes, all tongues, all peoples, to you be glory and honor and power forever and ever, we pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
amen.
The Lord bless you.